Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rage! Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Throwing it down. The Monday night meltdown has begun. As we break it down, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the NFC Conference favorite Tampa Bay Buccaneers at that. Survive a late scare at the Meadowlands this evening, our old stomping grounds, as Danny Dimes nearly pulls off the miracle. The New York Giants rolled out their old classic uniforms, and they look sharp, and they played pretty sharp as well. Say what you will about the New York football Giants. Their record doesn't indicate it, and you are what your record says you are, right? As Bill Parcells, the former New York Giant great, so eloquently stated, and it is report card time now. We're at the halfway part of the National Football League season. It really doesn't matter in the end, right? You know, if you were close or not. If you lost the game, you lost the game. And if you're the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, it wasn't pretty, but they found a way to win the football game. 25-23 final score. Giants won a football game earlier this year when Washington failed to convert on a two-point conversion. Riverboat Ron Rivera, of course, lived up to his name and went for the two, went for the win. And tonight, they were unable to tie the football game late. Paul Bovey's going to step up in it. We're going to do our weekly line check, week 9 of the NFL. Thursday night football, good news, bad news. The good news is Thursday night football, it doesn't involve anybody from the NFC East. And I think we've all seen these teams from the NFC East enough, right? But you know who's on Monday night football next week? It ain't pretty, man. It's the New England Patriots and the New York Jets. Like, dear God. Like, really? We're going to have to subject ourselves to this? Even Bill Belichick has given up. Even Bill Belichick has given up on the New England Patriots season right now. Belichick basically said today, what the hell do you want us to do, all right? We sold out. We won a bunch of Super Bowls. We're paying the price for it now. Now you're paying the price for not getting along with Tom Brady and letting him go. Because don't tell me if Tom Brady was still on the New England Patriots that they would suck as much as they do right now. But Bill Belichick thinks he can coach anybody up. We said it before, we're going to say it again. Bill Belichick is the best coach ever to coach in the National Football League. But Bill Belichick, the general manager, is not the best general manager. He is the Greg Popovich of the National Football League. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
You want some of this, don't you?
Yeah!
Well, you need to know the winners. And I know the winners. So call me now.
Whoa!
$5 for the first minute, $2 for each additional minute. You have reached the coach's hot
line.
Line.
Yeah, lay it on me, coach.
In the game of Miami versus
Cincinnati. Cincinnati.
Not
Cincinnati.
Come on.
Don't you realize this is costing me money?
Let's roll. The Monday Night Meltdown has begun. Paul Bovey stepping up and in. We got George Kurtz kicking it with us in level two tonight. Of course, we know that it is, the countdown to the election. But, you know, truth be told, if you really want political talk, you're going to tune in to a political, cable news station, political talk radio show. We're here to break down the NFL, do a line check, college football, Major League Baseball, hard to believe, but free agency has begun. The tendering period has begun. So there's a lot of stuff to get to. But at the same point in time, we are aware that it is a pretty big event tomorrow. The most bet event in world history, actually. It's pretty crazy, man. The international world markets are going crazy. Just for the record, just to do a quick overnight line check right now, Joe Biden currently minus 188 internationally, of course, the international markets. And he was 2-1 over the weekend, now down to a minus 188. Let's bring in Paul Bovey, and we're going to run the gauntlet with Paul. Like I said, Paul, we won't spend too much time on this. But I remember we spoke when President Trump got coronavirus, and we were talking about the international betting markets, and you were intrigued. Did you end up making a move at all?
Gabe, I'm on both sides, and I'm embarrassed to say I have locked in a small loss because I believe in small losses when you're basically dealing in a coin flip, which I feel we are now, rather than sit there and hope and pray that you win and with the other side of the coin being a big loss. So I'm going to sit and just watch what happens. You know, I'll root for my candidate of choice, and I'll not have a vested interest in the result.
You know, the way I feel about it, too, is that I've said it. I think I lean with Biden winning, but the odds don't justify it. Put it this way. If this is a UFC fight, the fight's a pick'em. It's a toss-up. Either guy can win the fight, yet one of the guys is minus 188. And you could argue, man, you're getting the champion as an underdog as well, just to throw out all the politics. We're just looking at it from a number standpoint here, guys. That's it. Solely. Just it. I personally think Biden squeezes it out, but I don't think there's value at the number, Paul. That's my assessment.
Well, I think if you want to pick up a few nickels, which you could, for example, tonight I found a site that was minus 180 and plus 183 on the other side. So you could probably, if you want to make a few coins and tie up a few dollars,
yeah, go
you
shopping.
Can make that. But, yeah, I mean, and this is, it's just called arbitrage. And, you know, as a professional sports guy, I do this all the time and, you know, just try to play correlated things that are going to work out in my favor where I have a mathematical advantage. In this case, you have what I call and what I use very sparingly, but what others use way too much, you have free money because you could just play one side versus the other side. And like I said, pick up a few nickels without having to stand in front of a train.
Paul Bovey, covers.com, kicking it with us. All right. So, Paul, you are a New York Football Giant fan. I was very close to the team, my old stomping grounds. And it was nice to see the Meadowlands this evening. I missed doing the show there on a nightly basis. And it's funny, when I was there, I was like, dear God, I spend way too much time at this place. But now I actually do miss it. But New York Giants. So you are what your record says you are, as Bill Parcells, a New York Giant great, stated. And, you know, the New York Giants have won one football game this year, but really, they've been in every game this year except that San Francisco game. And I know there's no moral victory, so it gets a little bit old, it gets a little bit frustrating, and, you know, so I'm going to ask you as a Giant fan, although, you know, you don't bet with your heart, but from a Danny Dimes standpoint, it's frustrating, the turnovers continue,
But then you see the dimes continue as well. You see he can make big plays. Where are you at with Danny Dimes? The way I see it personally, you give him next year, right? There's a new coach this year, whatever. They're working things out. It was coronavirus, blah, blah. You give him until next year, and if it doesn't work, then, you know, you think about it. But how do you feel about this Giant team? Because, like I said, they have been competitive, but they're not winning.
Well, I'm going to just tell you, that last interception put me on tilt. I'm going to have to apologize to the neighbors tomorrow. And it's all not only from my fanhood speaking here, but also from a betting standpoint. I needed that last touchdown. I needed it bad. He's very frustrating to watch, but he's not a guy you can throw the towel in on, because you could see he has the will to win and he's capable. It's just that he makes these regresses and makes these idiotic decisions. And it's just extremely frustrating as a Giant fan. And you bring out an excellent point. And if not for Nick Mullins turning into Superman after getting in the phone booth, maybe they could have won that San Francisco game. Of course, Nick Mullins tends to do these things once in a while. But they have been in every single game this year. They're a little like the L.A. Chargers. If you look at these games, you can make a case that they could have won each and every one except for that San Francisco game. It's a shame, because I'd like to see better. I've been a longtime Giant fan. I am a longtime Giant fan. And, of course, I'd like to see better things. But I see light at the end of the tunnel, unlike the other team in New York, which I have a prop bet for you, by the way. Do you think you will hear the mention, "I see ghosts," in the first 5 minutes of next Monday night's game? And I say, if the odds are -180 on the yes, what do you say?
Yeah, I'm going to have to. I'll jump on board and share the background with people on this, right? As far as Sam Darnold is concerned.
Well, last year they played the New England Patriots. It was a whitewash. I believe they were shut out something like 34-0. And at one point he was overheard on the sidelines saying, "I see ghosts." And it was an embarrassing moment for Sam Darnold. And, you know, he's a likable guy, and you don't want to see that.
No more embarrassing than getting mono, Paul.
it's going to be something. It's going to be, in terms of Jet history, it's going to be – it's not as bad as the butt fumble by Mark Sanchez.
Yeah.
But it's going to be right there with it.
Well, the mono's got to be up there too. Sam Darnold, like you said, he's had quite the auspicious career, bro. Right, he's been hurt all the time. He's seen ghosts. He got mono. He got mono, which, you know, I really don't. He's got to be the only quarterback in NFL history ever to miss significant time with mono before. And listen, they're going to have a decision to make, because they're terrible, right? They're really bad. They might fall ass backwards into Trevor Lawrence right now, and they're going to have to throw their golden boy Sam Darnold under the bus, Paul, and they like this kid.
Yeah, and there's talk they could get number one draft picks or whatever. They might get a later round first. I don't see them getting a top 10 pick for this kid, because even though it might not be his fault at this time, because certainly the last few weeks he's had, and I got another question for you later, but he's had very little to work with here in terms of receivers. It's been pretty bad. It's just not his fault, but I don't think anybody is going to invest or mortgage their future by giving up a top 10 or a top 15 pick to get Sam Darnold at this point.
We're going into a break here momentarily, but we'll hit this. Just for the record, guys, how the mighty have fallen as far as the New England Patriots are concerned. They're only 7-point favorites over the New York Jets. Monday Night Football next week. Patriots open up 7-point favorites. FanDuel, total 41. We'll get Paul Bowlby's thoughts. One of the best at Pitts on the other side. Bring it.
Sports.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rage it up. Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Don't ruin your appetites. I'm buying lunch for everybody on me.
Wow. What's the occasion?
I'm rich. I won my bets on the Rose Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, the Cotton Bowl, and I chunked it all on a hockey game, and I won that.
Hey, all right. How much did you win?
$116.
What a windfall.
Yeah, really. I still feel tingly.
Sports Rage Late Night continues. I'm Morenci. Monday Night Meltdown. Shout out to all of our radio affiliates. We're kicking it with Paul Bovey, covers.com. Covers experts. Paul, a lot of stuff to get to, a lot of big games. It's hard to believe we're already halfway through the National Football League season right now. Just for the record, guys, and I'm sure you saw this, everybody, Javon Wims, dude on the Chicago Bears who lost it, started slapping Gardner Johnson in the head. Yeah, I don't know why. Like, honestly, he should have pulled the old UFC foot stomp, Paul. So basically, like, what's the use of punching someone in a football helmet? You're only going to hurt your hand. You're not hurting the dude. You know, I understand grabbing a face mask and, like, you know, pulling him around with it. That I understand. Punch the dude in the stomach. That's what he should have done if he really wanted to get him. Like it really would have surprised him, too. Just walk up and punch him right in the gut, man. Or stomp on his foot with your cleat type thing if you really wanted to get him. But punching him in the head. And listen, it was a big play. And, you know, Matt Nagy is so clueless, Paul. He said after, I didn't even see it happen. I didn't know it happened. It's like, how are you the head coach? You're standing on the field, bro. How do you not notice there's a brawl going on? like, it's baffling to me. I said it earlier, like, I would consider cutting the dude. Like, the more I thought about it, I was like, I can't have this guy on my team. He's an embarrassment. It was stupid. Number one, it was stupid. Number two, you look like and I'm surprised that the PC police aren't out on Gardner Johnson's ass right now, because he said that Wims punches like a girl. So I was like, oh boy, now people are going to get mad about that comment. But yeah, what a stupid move, Paul. But I was just going to say, he got a two-game suspension. Two-game suspension from the NFL.
You hit a guy in the helmet, it's symbolic. But he should have pulled... Remember Lyle Alzado? Lyle Alzado would rip the helmet off first, and then he'd go after the guy. That would have been the wise decision if he really wanted to retaliate. That's the way to do it. I mean, to hit a guy in the helmet, as you said, it you could break your hand. Doesn't make any sense to me, but of course, in the heat of the moment, you just want to get back at the guy. I think, am I correct that he stuck his finger in his eye or something? So I can't blame him for getting some sort of retaliation, but it might not have been the best way to do it.
And Gardner, they're not even denying it, but he's denying that he spit on him. Wims is saying that he got spit on as well. So basically, there's all kinds of like clips, and Gardner Johnson was out of control all game, bro. He was poking everybody in the face. He kept sticking his fingers in everyone's helmet, and like he was trying to poke him in the eye. And he mocked Miller's height, Anthony Miller. Like, you know, he kept mocking his height and stuff. And he was like, you know, he put his hand up over his head. He kept saying things to him. He was talking smack all day. He put his hand in Wims's face mask and pulled his mouth guard out. And I don't know why, bro. Like, there's a pandemic. Why do you want to stick your hand in the guy's mouth? Right. But whatever. So Gardner Johnson, like, kept sticking his hand in everyone's face mask. I don't know why the refs let him get away with it, but they were. And you see, there's a lot of evidence he was doing it. And then finally, now they're saying he's saying he got spit on, too. And Johnson didn't deny anything else, but he said, I never spit on him. He said, that's not true. I never spit on him. But he hits like a girl. Well, you know, he got suspended 2 games. It was a 15-yard penalty, and then Foles throws a pick on the next play. Right? So, you know, the wheels fell off after the fact. But let's move forward. I wanted to ask you, so you brought up Nick Mullins, and you know, listen, man, Nick Mullins came in last year, whenever the hell it was. I have a hard time all these years connect together, but you remember he came in on Monday Night Football or Thursday Night Football, whatever, and he set a record. And, you know, Nick Mullins has actually been pretty good, in my opinion, Paul. What's your take on Nick Mullins? Because he's the new quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers. And I don't know if it was Booger McFarland. I think it was, but people are throwing it out there right now that Shanahan wants a better quarterback than Jimmy G, actually. And, you know, will they move on, actually? Something to keep our eye on. But what's your take on this? And we should note, guys, Aaron Jones looks like he's going to be out. I know it's not official. It's only Monday night. But I don't think Aaron Jones is playing, guys. So Aaron Jones is, like, most likely out of this football. Like, he's not playing. So Aaron Jones is out. A.J. Dillon's got coronavirus. Jamal Williams has been exposed to coronavirus. They don't have any running backs. It's starting to catch up a little bit, too. Aaron Jones was having a great year, Paul. Opening number right now, 3.5. Green Bay favorite on the road. What's your quick take on this one?
The issue with, you know, if there was a word for a bipolar quarterback, Nick Mullins would define it. I remember that Monday night game very well. He actually compiled a perfect rating, 16-22 of 260, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. And then for the duration of the year, he proceeded to throw 9 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, couldn't get over 100 in terms of a rating, but twice, and that be that slightly. And he just relegated himself to mediocrity or less. Then he comes in and torches the New York Giants early in the year. He went 25-36, 350, and then the next week he was yanked during the Eagle game. Now, look, I have nothing but love for Nick Mullins right now because I had the 49er team total yesterday over 25.5, and it wasn't small, so he rescued me. So I'll never say a foul word about Nick Mullins, but can I back him on the go against him or for him, knowing how inconsistent and unpredictable he is? Nada.
And it's got to be starting to be a frustrated and angry Aaron Rodgers. And as well, let's not forget, guys, how much do you play in? Does it matter to you at all that San Francisco beat, you know, the revenge spot? You know, I'll tell you what, Aaron Rodgers has not been very successful. This is his hometown game as well. And he hasn't played there that much in his career. He's from the Bay Area. And, you know, I don't know if, like, we'll get his record throughout the week, but he's struggled. He hasn't had a ton of success against San Francisco in his backyard. They're laying 3.5 right now. It's amazing. San Francisco just depleted with injuries. And let me ask you something, Paul. I brought this up earlier. I said, you know, how the Buccaneers, you know, are the NFC favorites, according to the odds makers. Slightly, you know, they're 7-1 to win the Super Bowl. Seattle are 8-1 to win the Super Bowl right now. So I don't buy in. I mean, do you believe that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the best team in the NFC? Like, let me ask you, do you think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to the Super Bowl?
Watching tonight, my opinion of Tampa Bay is actually went down a few notches. The secondary definitely leaves a little bit to be desired. I don't know if they had an off night, but there were open receivers downfield, and Danny Dimes just missed them. I understand their run defense is at times impenetrable, But and they have Tom Brady, and they have an array of weapons now that could be called second to none. But that secondary scares me a bit. But looking at the rest of the league, I would have to say they are favored, because you can make a case that Seattle is much worse on defense, and they are. And they have a few injuries, although they will get Jamal Adams back this week, which I think will help them out a little bit. But there's just nobody in the NFC who stands out. And as far as the Packers go, their defense is also there are issues there. They could not stop Dalvin Cook this week, even though they knew he was going to get the ball. I mean, Kirk Cousins only threw it 14 times, completed 11. Their offense, Green Bay's, is formidable. Aaron Rodgers had another solid game, but the defense is a major liability at this point.
Updated numbers, and you know, I'm not the most patient guy, so when it comes to futures, some, you know, some I like, some I don't like, but we are halfway through the season right now. We're into November. Everything is seemingly on track right now with the National Football League as far as the season is concerned and their schedule. So let's just give an update, and I'll ask you, Paul, if you think there's a value pick here at all, or if you think even Kansas City, or Kansas City actually value. Are Kansas City that much better than everybody? They're plus 350 to win the Super Bowl right now. Pittsburgh Steelers check in at 6-1 to win the Super Bowl. Tampa Bay 7-1. Seattle 8-1. Baltimore 10-1. Green Bay 11-1. New Orleans 13-1. My Buffalo Bills 22-1. And then the Indianapolis Colts are 24-1. That's the top nine Super Bowl odds. So I'll ask you, Paul, any value in your opinion? Like, where do you stand right now on this?
I'd say New Orleans is the value. If you get 13-1 with New Orleans, Pittsburgh to me is way. I don't know how many 7-0 teams there have been in the history of the NFL, but I would just say, without knowing who the other teams are, Pittsburgh is near the bottom in terms of quality of of team. What's it?
You're not. We're going to a break here. We'll get your take on the Steelers. That's hardcore. Like how you said, I don't even know who the other 7-0 teams are, but I got to believe the Steelers are the worst 7-0 team, because that seems to be the theme of the week every week. I hear that from people. I don't really believe the Steelers are that great. But they keep finding ways of winning football games. I was on them against Baltimore. I don't buy into Baltimore. I don't think Baltimore can beat good teams in the playoffs, you know, against good defenses. So I'm sort of discounting. We'll play like process of elimination on the other side. I still think Seattle can get it done and just outscore everybody. I think Seattle are the best team in the NFC. This is Sports Rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Hey, wait a second. What are you doing? You're not betting. You know he's not supposed to bet.
Come on, Jerry. It's a lock.
Kramer, you've had this thing under control for almost 3 years now. Don't start again.
But it's a lock.
No.
The Sports Rage Late Night continues. I'm Morenci. We're kicking it with Paul Bowlby, coversexperts.com, in the house. All right, a lot of stuff. We're just talking futures right now, but we always do a line check. Paul knows the drill. I go through all the games, and he steps up and in and shares his thoughts. We want to find, you know, we want to find out what games Paul dropped his money on. And you know, I'm not going to share Paul's business, but he bet significant units on these games. He's the one moving these numbers early in the week. I look forward to your take on this Clemson Notre Dame situation as well, without Trevor Lawrence. So you were just saying going into the break, you don't buy into the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I was talking, Paul, about sort of a process of elimination in the National Football League as far as the futures are concerned. So Kansas City, yes. Can Kansas City win the Super Bowl? Hell yes, they can. And we haven't had a team repeat in a long time, so we're almost due for it. Before the year started, I said they would. I said it was going to be Kansas City and Seattle. I say KC repeats. Pittsburgh, I don't think Pittsburgh are going to the Super Bowl either. I think Pittsburgh will get knocked off by KC in the playoffs. Tampa, I'm on the fence with. I think they are dangerous. I think they can beat anybody, Tampa, but I think they could lose to anybody in the playoffs. I've got Seattle, bro, as the best team here. So they're 8-1. Baltimore, so I discount Pittsburgh, put Tampa in a maybe, but no, let's discount Tampa in my opinion. I got Seattle, yes. Baltimore, no. I don't buy into Baltimore. I don't think they can win big games in the playoffs. I have a hard time believing the Packers. They have a consistency problem. You called it. The New Orleans Saints, to me, are that other dangerous team. Everyone talks about Drew Brees and his arm is dead and blah, blah, blah. But if you look, Paul, I don't have to tell you, these guys are winning football games without Michael Thomas, without Emmanuel Sanders. And Drew Brees' arm isn't as dead as people think, bro. If you look at you're a big stat guy, you're a big numbers analytics guy. I don't have to tell you, Drew Brees is actually playing good football. The whole his arm is dead thing, is he 28 years old anymore? No. But Drew Brees isn't done. He's not a liability in the playoffs. They're going to get healthier as the season goes. Their defense is playing good football. I can buy in that they're more dangerous. Like, no one's talking about them, but they're dangerous, Paul.
Well, first of all, you threw me a hanging curveball with the Steelers, and I hope you weren't going around bragging yesterday that you had the Steelers over the Ravens, because they were outgained 473-221. And I'm sure Travis Fulgham's mother is very happy with the Steelers because they made a household name of her son, who went off for 10 catches for  152 yards when they barely beat Eagles. It may have looked a little differently at 38-29, but reality is they scored a few lucky touchdowns and a late one. I don't think they're very good. The defense didn't show up yesterday. Lamar Jackson basically gave the game away. They could not stop Baltimore's running game. They've had trouble in the secondary, letting up several games to receivers who gained over 100 yards. I'm not impressed with them. And as far as Kansas City goes, look, the Chiefs, to me, are a little overrated. You look at the Broncos and the Bills. Yes, they played those teams in inclement weather and benefited from that. They're used to that. But they gave up 500 yards to the Raiders and Chargers, lost to the former, and the latter should have beaten them, if not for some second half blunders by the quarterback, who's done outstanding this year. But there was a couple plays that he could have made that he did not, and an interception or two. So I'm going to back off from the Chiefs and side with the Saints for value. And as far as Drew Brees having a dead arm, you can have a drop off in your arm if you have accuracy like Drew Brees. He completes 70%+ of his passes. And as you stated, Michael Thomas has been conspicuously absent from the lineup, which has certainly hurt the downfield passing game. And last week, Emmanuel Sanders was out as well. And I think he was out this week too. Callaway was out, who caught 8 balls last week for 75 yards. So he's had to work with some, he's had to work with less than great talent there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Tyquan Smith, he's okay. But as things get back to normal, and if they shore up their secondary, this is a team that can go a long way in the playoffs.
Paul Bovey kicking with us. All right, Paul, instead of going through all the games, because I want to hear what you liked and you jumped on already, what you can share with us. But I wanted to ask you, so the Seattle Seahawks take on the Buffalo Bills. And, look, man, the Bills are 6-2. So, no one can complain. I guess it's good news, I'm a Bills fan, obviously. But I guess it's good news when we're the Bills and we're 6-2 and everyone's sort of in a bad mood about it, including the team. You know what I mean? Like, they're not playing great, but they're 6-2. And, hey, you are what your record says you are, so we'll take it. They were lucky that Cam Newton fumbled, but it is what it is. The Bills have fumbled a lot against Tom Brady, right? I mean, ask about Leonis McKelvin that night. So it's not like the Bills didn't give games away over the lose. That's just the way things go. So the Bills got the win. I'd like to see this offense get back on track a little bit. Now they get Seattle coming to town. Seattle, 3-point road favorites at Buffalo, total 54. What's your impression of this opening number?
I'm going to give you the last name of five receivers. These are the five receivers that the Bills have faced the last 2 weeks. Mims, Berrios, Myers, Bird, and Zuber. I want you to give me the first name of three of them.
I know Braxton Berrios from Miami. There's one of them. Who else?
Myers, Bird, Zuber, and Mims.
Denzel Mims. Greg Bird. Not bad, right?
Who?
Greg Bird.
Who?
Greg Bird.
No.
Darius Bird.
Okay. You better go on to Myers and Zuber. Maybe you'll get
I'm not looking anything up here either. No, I'm not going to go with Zuber.
All right.
I'm not going to go with him. I get where you're going. So now you're saying they face Metcalf and Lockett?
Yeah, I've made my point. These are the receivers they have faced the last 2 weeks with the New England Patriots and the New York Jets, and now it's a slight upgrade to the Seattle receivers here. And I think they're going to have a little bit of trouble with DJ Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. The Bills defense, I don't know what happened. Number three in terms of total defense last year, number two in scoring defense. But this year they are actually down a couple notches despite all those signings. And unless they get things, get their groove on here, they're going to have a lot of trouble. But they're not going to hold Seattle to less than 27.5 points. This is a team total I've already jumped on in a few spots, or actually one spot, but multiple times. And I think you can go over this number confidently that Seattle will get into the 30s unless there's a weather issue, which I look at the Buffalo weather and it looks to be pretty sound.
Yeah, exactly. That's always the case. And, it was pretty windy this weekend across the board, but teams will adjust to it moving forward. It's always tough long-term forecast, but as you stated, looking forward right now, guys, it actually says 68 degrees and sunny in Buffalo with 8-mile-an-hour winds, and you got in earlier than it was 54. You pounced. What else did you take a look at in the NFL early, Paul?
No, it was actually strange. The look-ahead line was 54, and I played it. I thought I got a bargain. It went down to 51. Yesterday, or I woke up this morning and I could not figure the move out. But I said, you know what? If you liked it at 54, you gotta love it at 51. So I played it a couple times at 51, 52, and it's back up to 54. Somebody hit this. Maybe it was a fake move. I don't know what it was, but it's where it should be. Actually, I would make this 55, 56 in good weather. How do you go under Seattle? And how do you go under Buffalo's defense? And I think their offense is still pretty good. I like it.
I know you took a look at the Jags and the Houston game. What's your thoughts on that one?
Well, I'm going to bank on Jake Luton since Gardner Minshew is out. And these teams played to a 30-14 decision a couple weeks ago. And I'm going to hope that Roby is out for Houston. He's their best corner. He went out in the Green Bay game on the first series, and Aaron Rodgers was just cherry picking the whole way. The defense is not very good. I think there'll be points in this game. Jake Luton, by the way, out of Oregon State, and last year, 28 touchdown passes versus 3 interceptions. Put it this way. I'd rather have him than Bobby Hoyer or one of these quarterbacks where you know what you're going to get, built-in mediocrity. Maybe they comes up with a big game. Maybe he pulls a Nick Mullins here. But I think he's facing a really poor defense. I jumped on the 7. I jumped on the over. I jumped on the team total. I think you'll see some points here. By the way, in that last game, 30-14, the first quarter was scoreless. And then they picked it up later on. I think that's what you'll see here. And I'd make this total 53, so I think there's value here.
I don't know what it is, Paul. I mean, I swear to God, do the Kansas City Chiefs ever play on the road? Did the NFL give these guys 10 home games this year? No road games for the Chiefs? It seems like they're at home every week. And they're at home once again, laying 10.5 to the Carolina Panthers. McCaffrey expected to be back in this football game. You know, Carolina can't win, but they've been good in the underdog role. They're getting 10.5 here. You know, cream puff schedule for the Chiefs. Getting the Jets, now getting the Panthers. Numbers moved a little bit. Totals up to 52.5. What are your thoughts on the total? I know you took a look at this one.
I played it at 51 because I just thought there was value there. And at 52.5, I still like it. And this is a play against both defenses because I made the point before that the Chiefs defense is not all that. 500 yards apiece to the Raiders and Chargers. And the Carolina rushing defense is porous, especially with these players out. Short is out. Matos is out. And it has hurt that run defense. And it didn't really come out that conspicuously in this game against Atlanta, which I had the Falcons. Because Todd Gurley is basically, they got to put this guy out to pasture. He's just not getting it done outside of the first Carolina game. He's run the ball like 129 times or 139 times for 400, a little over 400 yards. He's a 3.5 per yard back, which is not good enough in the NFL. But they're going to struggle with these backs with the Chiefs. They're going to struggle in pass defense. But Carolina will probably get into the 20s here. The game should go over the number.
Paul Bovey covers experts kicking it with us. We've got a couple of minutes left on the other side. The quickest 120 minutes in sports. Although we might have an announcement soon. We're just waiting for the press releases. Stay tuned about the late night anger management class. All right, we'll squeeze in some college football talk on the other side. Nevada Wolfpack get it done against UNLV. Wolfpack looked really good this year. Notre Dame Clemson this week. Sports Rage, bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
All right, Sports Rage late night continues. I am Morenci. We've got a couple more minutes with Paul Bovey here. I see our chat is blowing up about the Champions League. We have some people talking NFL football, but hey, it's a free world. You guys can break down whatever you want. But Grinch in Arizona says, hey, Morenci, Drew Brees can't throw a deep ball. And at that, Paul, I say, so what? It's not a long ball competition, right? You know, Josh Allen can throw the ball 80 yards in the air. So what? Like, a lot of quarterbacks can heave it. You know, Drew Brees can win on his smarts. It's like a pitcher, as you talked about. It's like a pitcher that loses some velocity, but is still, like, very, very effective. Very, very effective. And he's been doing it without any wide receivers all year as well. As you mentioned, it's weird with Thomas. He was hurt. Then he was ready to come back, and then he got into a fight, and he was a jerk with everybody, so they benched him. And then he got mysteriously hurt again, right? The injury was back. People thought, well, they're going to trade him, and I don't think they're going to do that. They said, no. He's not getting traded. We'll see when he's back. But Nevada Wolfpack, I was on him against UNLV. Man, it was a good pick. I wish I would have hammered it a little bit more. You're just saying now, I want your take on that game because I know you moved on it. And what's your take on the Clemson-Notre Dame game? We've got about 2 minutes here.
I don't have much of an opinion on Clemson-Notre Dame. Clemson hasn't looked all that impressive. Very disappointing effort first. Syracuse-Notre Dame comes out flat at times, but Ian Book's a decent quarterback. As far as Nevada goes, look, this Carson Strong is a really good quarterback, and this is a soft opponent, and I think they're going to impose their will here. Line opened up 14.5. I think it's up to 15, 15.5, 16. And I think they win the game rather comfortably. Demir Bird, by the way.
Demir.
Gabe.
Ah.
Demir.
Yeah, yeah. New England Patriots.
Yeah.
You know what? I played him in DFS. I knew who he was. But, you know, as you get older, Paul, you just don't care what anyone's first name is anymore. You know what I'm saying? Hey, I love you, Paul.
Bro.
I know your last name. Paul Bovey. Covers.com. Go to the expert page. Paul Bovey. Follow him on Twitter. And you know what? We got the breeders this week, too. So follow Paul on Twitter for all your breeders action. Thanks, Paul. Bring it.
Take care, kids. Love you, people.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.